If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 8. Hebrews 1 and 8. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the foundations are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they all will become old like a garment and like a mantle. You will roll them up like a garment. They will also be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, what you have written for us today. Our needs are as unique as we are. The experiences of this last week have been many. But we've all come this morning to hear from you. So keep our thoughts, our attention focused upon you and upon your word. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the midst of a section here as we've begun our study in the book of Hebrews, as the writer compares the person, the ministry, the work of angels to the person, the ministry, the work of Jesus Christ. In the first century, as in the 21st century, there's a lot of confusion about angels, who they are, what they accomplish, what God's relationship is to them, they to God, what our relationship is to them and they to us. We want to be very careful that we limit what we teach, that we limit what we believe to what God's word has said. Every once in a while I will hear something, and I know that did not come from Scripture. That came from a movie or a TV show or somebody's thoughts about what angels are all about. We want to be careful about that. And as verse 8 begins for us, this quote from Psalm 45, we need to begin with what we know and what we understand of who Jesus is. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. We begin by understanding and knowing that Jesus, Mary's boy, the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, who we will celebrate in 3 short weeks, is also God. This morning, we want to look at the uniqueness of his nature. And we begin here in verse 9 understanding that he is first of all. Well, let's leave it that way. He is first of all Son of Man. He is a man. Verse 9 says, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions." We're introduced to Jesus in the Gospels. Matthew and Luke in particular tell us the story behind his conception and his birth. And from that, it's all very clear as we first meet him that Jesus is, as I have said, Mary's boy. He's all man. But we also understand that he is also wholly, completely God. But as we're first introduced to him, and as we first hear stories of him and read the Gospels and the stories of his ministry, we see the man. And Scripture makes it very clear that he is the Son of Man. Unique, you've loved righteousness, hated lawlessness. He is truly the example of who we are to be, the one who we are to follow. But then he says, you've been anointed, or your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And that word companions, some have understood that in its immediate context here to be a reference to other heavenly beings, angels. And that this is one more way in which the writer of the book of Hebrews is differentiating between who Jesus is and the angels. And that's certainly possible. But others have also suggested that this word companion is a reminder that Jesus is also the Son of Man, totally human, but unique. So whether we're talking about Jesus and comparing him to angels, or Jesus and comparing him to man, the one thing we don't want to do is take this word companion and think, oh, he's just one of them. No. He is unique and he's different. Just as he has many of the same characteristics and abilities as the angels, we've already seen he's far superior and he's different than, other than. So it is with comparing him to man. Common characteristics? Absolutely. But he is also unique and superior in his person. So whether this is a comparison to Jesus and angels or Jesus and man, and you can see here from the outline what I have chosen, because I believe it follows best in this immediate context, that we are reminded that our Savior, by definition, has to also be human. Our Savior has to be God to accomplish what he did, pay the penalty for your sins and mine. But he couldn't have done that without also being human. It's the uniqueness of his person. So he is the Son of Man, but he is also the Son of God. And it's demonstrated here first as the Creator. Verse 10 says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. We read that, and it's not identified for us who of the Godhead did that. Moses does say, and the Spirit hovered over the surface of the earth, so we know the Spirit was there. But there's no mention of that third person. Well, in no small part, simply because we have to get to the New Testament to see him clearly and to understand who he is. But who is the creator? Who is the on-hands one who built it all? The writer of Hebrews. And the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 1 that it's the second person of the Godhead, the Son. He was the one who created it all. It was his hands that made it all. Now, the world we live in, and it's not new. It's not new. We've gotten a little more sophisticated, but it's not new. The world we live in has tried to find all sorts of other explanations for the world and creation and all that we see. The simplest explanation for everything else in the world is always, who made it? Until we talk about this, creation. Because if this was made by someone or something, it had to be someone or something much greater than anything we've seen. Scripture says very clearly, God created. But the world wants to think of any and every other thing, other explanation for what we see. And who is the creator? Who is the creator God? Jesus. Proof, again, from God's word, the Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God, God himself. Secondly, verses 11 and 12, he is unchangeable. Theologians like the fancy word, immutable. I like unchangeable. And don't you know, isn't that truly unique about God? In almost everything else, we want things to change, don't we? We want things to get better. We don't like things to stay just exactly as they are. And my wife is saying, dear, you're always saying you'd like things to stay exactly as they are. That's for another discussion. We expect things to change. Sometimes for the better, but changing. Who is the definition? Who is the illustration? Who is the only one who can say, I never change? God. Why? Because he's perfect. There's nothing to change. He can't get better. He won't get worse. He is God. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. He never changes. Well, what does he say then about Jesus? Psalm 102, they will perish, but you remain, and they will become old like a garment, and like a mantle you'll roll them up like a garment. They will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. You are eternal. All what we understand to be God. Everything else around us changes. Sometimes for the better, but ultimately always to an end. But God doesn't end. God doesn't change. And right there at the end, Psalm 102, verse 27, and your years will not come to an end. Why? Because he's eternal. Now, if you are here this morning in Christ, He's your Savior, He's your Lord. You've tapped into that. Your days, your years will not come to an end either. Oh, here, yes. But in Christ, we have eternity. Now, we're not God. We don't have an eternal past like He does. But we have an eternal future, where the years, the days, will not end. He is also sovereign. Verse 13, but to which of the angels has He ever said, sit at My right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? We don't live in a monarchy, and so we can't fully appreciate the picture. And in deference to my left-handed friends, the right hand is the hand of power and authority. And the one who sits at the right hand shares His power and His authority. And all enemies, all of those who have been subdued, form the perfect footstool or footrest because they have been subdued. Old Testament picture, New Testament picture, Jesus says, or excuse me, the Apostle Paul said, of death, where is your victory? Grave, where's the sting? What? How did all of that happen? Well, the finished work of Christ took away the fear of death because His death subdued it, brought it under control. And you can know freedom from the fear of death through faith in His finished work. So this is a picture of Jesus as the sovereign one, equal in power and authority to the Father. Son of man, Son of God, unique in who He is. Now, a final word about angels. But let me warn you, this is not the last you're going to hear about angels from the book of Hebrews. This is final word about angels this morning. Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Now we want to look at this very carefully and not let our imaginations go too wild. A lot has been said, a lot has been written about angels and their watching over us, guardian angels. That's not exactly what this says. But they do have ministry. And notice who this is written to and about. Are they not all ministering spirits? So they are working on behalf of another. Angels are, by definition, servants. By definition, working for others. For them, they're constantly doing the will of the Father. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Those who will come to Christ, those who will come to recognize Jesus as Savior and as Lord, there are those watching over them One, in the process of bringing them to Christ. Now, the primary person involved in that is the Holy Spirit. Paul makes that very clear in 1 Corinthians, that it's the Holy Spirit that takes us out of the marketplace of sin and puts us into the kingdom of God. He's the one who draws us to the Son. But apparently the angels are also involved in that process of making sure that happens. And then, having inherited eternal life, salvation, they continue then to be responsible for our care on some level. And that's all it says. So be careful about making it say more or understanding more. The ice may be thin, so you don't have to come out here with me, but I understand it this way. As we finish this discussion, a little more about Jesus and what I like to refer to as layers of care. When you come to physical challenges in your life and you seek out medical care, regularly it comes in layers. You may be dealing with something that you take care of yourself, and it's fine. But when there are greater challenges, you seek out others' help. Then when you come to greater challenges and maybe even end-of-life challenges, you make choices and you begin to layer care. There may be the choices that the surgeon offers, and then care that would come after that. And then you may get to the point where you can't stay home, and so you have to submit to the care of others for your day-to-day needs. And then sometimes the challenges get so great that we even have to bring in end-of-life specialists, another layer of care to make it just a little easier. That may be some of what the writer of Hebrews is describing here in terms of our relationship to God and the value of angels, personally. Who's ultimately responsible for your salvation? Jesus Christ. God, man, paid the penalty for your sins and for mine. It's His grace gift that is offered to us. Our response is the response of faith, to believe what sometimes I just simply call the unbelievable. It's so amazing that the God of the universe cares about me and loved me and died for me. But He says, just believe it. Okay. And then I find out later that the Holy Spirit was there pushing, and that And He's the one who got me over the line. When Jesus was ready to go to the cross, and spent that last night with His disciples, you may remember He told them that He would be leaving. But in leaving, he would ask the Father to send another comforter, another layer of care. You've been used to me for these last 3 years. What's about to happen in the next 3 days is going to rock you. But when it's all over with, you'll understand and see why. I'll be gone, but you'll have another layer of care. You'll have the Holy Spirit, and He will care for you. Added to that, the book of Hebrews says, are angels. Exactly how and what, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't say. But another layer of care to get us safely home. Because God loves us that much. Jesus is the Son of Man, Mary's boy, human, but without sin. He is also the Son of God, God Himself, holy, righteous. Together, in one person, able to accomplish what no one else could, the payment for your sin, my sin, for the sins of the whole world. Will all accept it? No. But it's all been paid. His death was sufficient to pay the penalty for all sin. That was accomplished on Friday. Sunday morning, he proved that he is exactly who he says he is. The Son of God, the Savior of the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to challenge and encourage. May we take what you have said and make the necessary applications to our lives. May I, to my life, because I have been confronted by your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.